So, this week we're going to be talking about eighth grade, and I hope you guys really like it. Gucci.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Son of a Ginger Podcasts. Entertainment reviews. I'm Patrick Baylor.
I'm Mason Moreau, Gucci Mob, totally wicked.
And we have our first returning guest and one of our favorite guests. What's your name again?
My name is Beth Marcinko.
And we're talking like this. Even though we still say like and a lot, we're talking like this because we're talking eighth grade, not
Not
talking like we're from eighth grade.
not just our horrible experiences, but also the movie.
Yes. But we will tell you some horrible eighth grade experiences because I don't know about you guys. Eighth grade.
Kind of blue.
Yeah, I don't want to say it sucked, but it wasn't the best years of my life, you know? I don't think it's anyone's.
I'm really glad that that's not the best year of my life.
And that's the thing. If it is the best year of your life, I feel like you're doing a great job, you know, selling dip at your local gas station, you know?
Selling?
Selling dip. I'm not talking tabacky. I'm talking
cheese
chips and dip.
Cheese dip. You're just hawking your wares outside the front of the gas station.
Ew.
Yeah, no. I don't look back on eighth grade and think that and see that I was cognizantly aware that this is one of the worst years of my schooling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the time, I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I
I
was
didn't.
completely fine. But it takes having a few more amazing years of high school and college to really understand that eighth grade was a monster of its own.
Yeah, you finally get some perspective because
Yeah.
I mean, when you're in eighth grade, oh man, I'm the coolest kid in my middle school, coolest kid in my K through eight school.
Oh, I never felt like the coolest kid in
No.
my school.
Yeah, I did not feel like the coolest kid in eighth grade at all. We all knew who the popular kids were,
Oh, yeah.
and they had cell phones
Oh, yeah.
and Abercrombie and Fitch
Oh, man.
and plaid pants, plaid shorts were a
No,
thing.
some Birkenstocks.
Birkenstocks,
And they had
sure.
cool
The
older
clog.
sisters that would get them beer now and then, you know? But they wouldn't drink it because beer's not cool. But bro, I had a sip of Admiral Nelson last week. Oh man. And that sip got me so wasted.
That was your eighth grade?
Yeah, I had a troubled time.
There were some people
Help.
in your eighth grade class that were doing some dirty things,
Doing some cigarettes, yeah,
even though
man.
you went to Catholic school.
Yeah. Well, and then Mason, you came along to my Catholic school in ninth grade.
Ninth grade.
Yes. The hopeful sequel that we'll get
The
from this
hopeful
movie.
sequel.
I was talking about sequel potential. I would love if there was going to be a 12th grade, a 16th grade, and they keep calling them grades,
It'd be like a
you know?
Before sunset
It would be
thing.
exactly like that.
Where
And
it's
we,
just picking up in certain periods of her life.
it would be exactly like that, and I hope it happens.
That'd be cool.
I would really like that. I
Yeah.
would, especially her senior year. I'm interested to see how she would evolve, especially after, these new friends that she made while or new friend that she made while shadowing is gone. Because I had a lot of older friends, and my senior year was definitely a little bit weird because so many of the people I hung out with were off at college.
And you had to kind of do a little friend reset.
Yeah, I mean, I had friends who weren't gone, but it was just different. It was a different dynamic.
Breaking news, Beth has friends.
What?
Whoa. But so yeah, we're talking a little bit about our eighth grade, but what we like about, I think speaking for all of us, I think what we all like about this film is that there's so much many just little inkling things that happen that are just so damn relatable that you know that you did when you were in eighth grade, and that I'm sure anyone that has watched this film did when they're 13 or 14. And doesn't matter if, it was last year or for us, how was it, 8 years ago now when we were in eighth grade? How old are we? I don't know. How old am I?
Yeah.
Ten years?
I
Ten
think
years.
that
Oh,
was
it's 10
10
years since
years
we've been in eighth
ago.
grade.
Wow, the 10th anniversary of eighth grade.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Where's my reunion? Piney Grove Middle School.
Shots fired.
Ouch.
People being called out.
I actually went to like an eighth grade reunion at our 5 year mark. It's very awkward.
So you were all seniors in high school?
Oh, it was, I think it was just after, just after our freshman year of college.
Okay.
I feel like that'd be fun.
Or maybe just before. I think it was just before freshman year of college, but.
That's just a way to say, hey, people I kind of knew from high school that maybe I went to the same school with, what's up?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So we're getting off topic.
We definitely are.
Let's segue into it right now. What's really great about this movie is that it is a complete catalyst for these kinds of conversations.
Yeah, you just think of how awkward everything was.
It does so well at finding these little idiosyncratic moments that happen to everyone, that light the fire, that have all these bring all these memories rushing back, and it's a great way to have the audience project themselves onto a character almost wholeheartedly.
I definitely think that like the moments they chose, or the moments that Bo wrote into the movie, they're so perfect at showing how all of these little things, especially in kids' lives, add up to, you know, like greater anxiety and greater like, oh, it's a part of this like more of this like movement and screenwriting to show a person's life rather than just trying to tell the story that could or couldn't happen. Like, this is real life.
What's a good example of kind of how they did that showing instead of, I guess, telling?
I would say like when she physically like crawled over to like the popular boy in her class to like joke, or not joke, but like lie to him and say that she had like nude pictures of herself on her phone. I think that is definitely something that like you can see a child's thought process there, where like they definitely are not like any kind of streetwise, like they don't have any like prior knowledge of how this is supposed to work. And it's just like showing how kids learn and like how they learn to like.
Yeah. And then we see them actively learn how to not necessarily be adults, but do more adult mature things. What I liked about this film the most is that it perfectly depicts that very awkward cocoon stage that middle school is, and like that this part of your age is, because you see, like, some kids, you know, just like, oh, yeah, they know what nudes are and what BJs are and stuff like that. And that's so cool. And then, you know, you'll have the other kids that have never heard of that before. What is that? And then it's like this weird social learning of these kind of things that make these kids, like, lose their innocence and go from kids to being, like, adolescents. And
exactly. In my eighth grade class, there was a girl who still didn't know that Santa Claus wasn't real.
Exactly.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Wait, so, like, are you putting on the record on Son of a Ginger? Mason?
Patrick. Just for all the listeners, I have my hand on Patrick's shoulder. There's not a fat man that comes to your house every December 25th.
What?
But my dad is there.
Is there a fat man who walks into your house every December 25th
and
eats
and
your cookies?
He just kind of pees in the corner, yells some obscenities and leaves, and we just say, ah, Randy. But I thought that was like Santa's nickname. Ah, Randy, you know, right?
That's my cousin's name, Patrick.
Is that what your cousin's been doing?
Your cousin is Ah, Randy?
Yeah, Ah, Randy.
Yeah. I propose a new Christmas mascot, Ah, Randy.
Ah, Randy. And he has a TV show followed by All
Real
Monsters.
He's gonna come
right
to your house and piss in the corner. It's Ah, Randy.
Ah, Randy.
get some jingle bells in there.
This is off the record, but this is my same cousin who had the Cleveland Browns themed wedding.
Oh my god!
Is he Ted Mosby Ted Mosby? Who is his friend? Slappy? Whatever the hell.
Oh, Slappy. Man, no. Slappy. This has gone too far. We need to go back to eighth grade. Slappy. Except I don't want to go back to eighth grade.
But yeah, like you literally see innocence being lost in this film, and I think it perfectly depicts what kind of happens in seventh, eighth, sometimes even ninth grade, depending on where you're from.
Yeah, for sure.
On where you're from.
So let's do like a quick 2-minute plot synopsis.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't.
What happened in this movie?
So it follows this girl. I don't remember her name.
Kayla.
She runs a YouTube advice channel that nobody watches.
Gets like 2-3 views.
And it's all about her YouTube channel and the way that she presents herself on YouTube, intercut with the lessons she's learned in real life and sort of the duality that comes with the persona that she's putting out online and the person she actually is.
Well, and her YouTube channel is also a way for her to process what's happening to her.
Yes.
I think it's really, it gives us a view into her mind without it being cheesy.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. It's an inner monologue sort of placed into this 21st century, very millennial process.
Centennial.
Yeah.
Yes. And all of this happens, right, the last week of her being in eighth grade. And like she's like saying goodbye, and I think she's like getting ready to prepare herself for what ninth grade holds as summer's about to start. And yeah, she then goes on a shadow day.
Well, not just summer is about to start. It starts at the beginning because the superlatives that come out are like they're shot for the yearbook and everything. So I just think we hit like the first day of eighth grade. That's the opening sequence, right? Or is that just another day? It's somewhere in the middle.
No, I think it's all the last week.
Really? They would shoot the superlatives that late?
I think they would like vote on it and then they'd like press them in. I mean, we can ask this middle school yearbook how they do their things. I think it all felt like it was in the same week. I don't think they fast forwarded ahead or anything.
I disagree with that timeline, but I would be willing. I mean, I just do. I don't think that that all took place in 1 week. It doesn't seem realistic.
Agree to disagree. I think it did. But anyway, taking over the course of certain towards the end of eighth grade. And she gets to go on a shadow day and then she meets some 12th graders, right? And kind of learns about herself and in these last couple of days of eighth grade. And boy, does she learn a lot.
She learns some lessons.
Lessons
gets herself into some adult situations.
She doesn't get herself into the situation.
No, yeah, the situations.
Okay. The situations find her.
And before we talk about those said situations, I want to talk about like this film is rated R, and mm-hmm. Bo Burnham, the writer-director, implored, hey, this is rated R because this is what these 14-year-olds go about and see every day. And so it's R-rated stuff, that this 17 and over kind of stuff. I like that he said, so please see it anyway. See it with a parent and kind of know what those are, but like you're not going to see anything new. And then he, I think, had one day where ratings didn't matter, and then a bunch of kids were able to see it. At like a bunch of different areas.
Yeah. And that's the fact that the movie's rated R sort of runs with the points that the movie makes is that there's this movie that's been made that's supposed to be perfect for these kids, but society is now telling them they can't see it.
Yeah, the MPAA ratings on that are a little.
Yeah. And society says they can't see it, but they'll.
It's a life they live.
Yeah. But in reality, everyone sort of knows that they would glean the most from it. Probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's the, in MPAA, it's motion pictures that have these ratings, but all these kids have Snapchat and Instagram where they're probably seeing, more mature stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. And I'm sure a couple of those apps on the App Store will say, 16 plus, need a parent to help you download. I don't know when that has ever stopped any of us from getting that stuff, especially kids even younger than us now that are way more tech savvy where you can just make up an email or something. For the App Store, in case your mom did set a password or something on your phone, if you're 14.
I think nowadays they have some pretty robust parental controls for downloading things from the App Store. But web browsers still exist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And websites still exist.
What?
Yeah.
What's a website?
Isn't that crazy? There are these things called URLs.
What is this world we live in?
You type in some things and it takes you to websites with boobies.
What? Boobies?
All right. Since we're on this topic anyway, we need to talk about the scene where the kid asks her if she gives blowjobs and she says yes and has no idea what that means.
Has no context of what they are.
And it leads to the most hilarious scene in the movie, in my opinion, which is when she throws the banana at her dad in the kitchen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was a very funny interaction. And, like, honestly, for me, the comedy, going into the movie, I fully expected the comedy to be amazing, right? Because Bo Burnham is one of my favorite comedians. I completely expected the movie to be funny. What I was unsure of was if Bo Burnham would be good at navigating a dramatic sequence, or, you know, something that has a little more meaning than just lighthearted humor.
Oh, I think based on his like recent comedy, though, he definitely shows that he has like the capability of dealing in the dramatic and like more serious context. But
especially with both of his stand-up specials.
Sure. Words. Like, I definitely, where I saw it, I think, like, most strongly. Like, Art is Dead is such a sad, heart-wrenching song.
Yeah, so, like, in his comedy, he approaches things with this sort of cynicism and nihilism.
Right.
For sure. And so, let me clarify. I didn't have any doubts that this movie would be bad. I was more curious how Bo Burnham would, like, how he would use his voice to make something like this, because we haven't seen anything like this from him ever.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I knew the comedy would be on point, but I was curious to see what angles he would take for these other formats.
And especially him dealing with like a female middle schooler's perspective. I think that like it felt like it could have been like any kid, like not just like this girl.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes, especially in middle school, but then you know, other contexts too, things get like very, very gendered very fast. And this just felt like a kid.
Yeah, like you're right. In middle school, differences are totally amplified, and high school. And then as you grow up, you start to emphasize similarities more than differences. Uh-huh. And so, especially in eighth grade, like it's awesome that there's a character that everyone can sort of see themselves in an environment where everyone is so focused on how different everyone else is.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And I think what Bo Burnham does really well, like other than the comedy that, you know, we've seen him invoke in his own personal like anxieties through his stand-up specials like What and Make Happy and Words, of what that anxiety does right to your mental state of just anything. And we literally see it with when she goes into like the party, that pool party. She like knows no one. I think they kind of do like that same like Saving Private Ryan thing where like where her ears are ringing and she's like going somewhere that's like so crazy and unfamiliar. And you see like the distance of her like wanting to figure out, hey, how can I befriend all these people? But like I've been there too, of like you go somewhere and you know no one. How am I gonna do this? How am I gonna spend the time? How am I gonna make sure I look cool? Like da da da, and like just have all those crazy ass thoughts like racing through your head that like don't seem like they're a big deal, but for you at that time it's the most important thing ever.
Right. And I liked the shots like across the pool party where you have like the close-ups on each of like the interactions of all these kids.
Yep. The importance of that was stressed. It was very good. I know that's very eloquent. It goes back to like in the beginning when they montage through all the people and there's a kid putting the rubber bands in his braces and someone's making a stack of markers.
Oh man, can we talk about how real that was though? The rubber bands.
Too real. My little brother just getting his braces off, or like he's in ninth grade now.
Gucci.
Getting his braces off was delayed because he didn't put the rubber bands in as much or enough.
And I bet that was a damn travesty for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It was a wake-up call.
Those rubber bands snapped in my mouth so many times, though. It was terrible.
I hated it when you would forget that they were in and then try to open your mouth, and then there'd be this resistance, like a shocking realization that there's some, like, oh, God, that was it.
you felt like, you know, like your mouth was like almost like not sewn shut, but it's just like, you know, like,
it's like, oh yeah, right. There are these elastic things that are keeping my jaw closed.
Make my mouth hurt. Make it not work good. Make it not open good. Going back to what we were saying, Bo Burnham did a very good balance and was surprisingly able to get into that voice of, like, yeah, like you said, Mason, yeah, a kid. Beth, you were an eighth grade girl.
I was an eighth grade girl, yes, at one point in my life.
Do you think he got in the right headspace of, I guess, the girl part of an eighth grade girl?
Yeah, 100%. It's so, if we're talking more about like the gendered part of it, like the learning about sex and if you are attracted to males, like trying to figure out like what, you know, what like a penis even looks like in a lot of cases. Like it's just like one of those things that unless, I don't know. Sometimes I guess if you have like a brother or something, you like accidentally like see stuff at home. I don't know. I think like the act of like learning about talking to boys and like understanding that like other people will be like attracted to you. I think like that's like a big realization, figuring out like what to do with all your feelings. Like coming up with a constructive outlet to like let out your feelings. And then also just like feeling weird about asking people about things that you don't know, especially in like a social or like sexual context. And also like the pressure of this high schooler like hitting on her, like very uncomfortable, like
Jesus Christ.
It's really uncomfortable, but it like that sort of thing like happens to girls that are that age. Like it was really, really heartbreaking for me. And I was like, wow, I remember the moment for me when like I lost my innocence and like I felt like that. Bo Burnham did a very good job of conveying the realness of that moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of scenes that instill fear, that are effectively instill fear, that did it better than any horror movie I've seen this year.
I was gripping my chair for sure.
Like it's
so tense.
Yeah. I was really afraid. And part of me was like, Bo, please don't do this to this movie. But like, and at the same time, I was like, oh my God, it's so easy to see how much worse this situation could be.
Yeah. And it walks that line and you're just like, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen to this character? Is this where this movie's going?
So should this movie be genreed as horror more than anything?
I mean, again, all of eighth grade for me was just horror. So
exactly.
Probably, yeah. So it's just by default.
That's what the title of this episode would be. Eighth grade and why it should be a horror movie.
And we were talking about it before we hit the record button. I think Bo does a very good job of kind of, I guess, like putting all of this together this way, especially with, you know, someone, you know, talking through YouTube and someone just awkwardly growing up and going through all these anxieties. He's an anxious guy that grew up through YouTube, got famous through YouTube and other media. Vine, well, not Vine, but I like him on his Vines.
His Vines were great.
He had some great
for
Vines.
For sure. You know, I was listening to another interview that he did, and he started talking about how some of this movie was inspired by his late night searches on YouTube for channels that nobody watches. And just to see like what people are uploading that nobody's seeing. That are just uploading things and then like
that has just two views and
or yeah, you know, like go to YouTube and search my first vlog or something. You know what I mean?
Oh my
god.
And
then you see all these people who posted their first vlog who decided not to post anything after that. They were like, this is not for me. You know what I mean? But they all tried it and then you see these little human moments come out in those videos and these people that haven't really figured out how to make a video yet.
You see like what is important to them because that's what they're going to talk about, especially on the first one. If there's no actual direction to it, that really comes out because when somebody doesn't really know what to talk about, they just default to maybe like the one thing that pops into their head like that. And that really says a lot about a person.
Mm.
So I used to have a little flip camera.
Yes, you did.
You know what I'm talking about? And one day I was scrolling through the videos and I found a little video that my brother had made and he couldn't have been over 7 years old when he made this. And I used to do like a little tech review channel in eighth grade where I would review iPhone games and headphones. And we had a partnership and everything. Like me and my neighbor were making money on YouTube in eighth grade.
Dang.
Well, they didn't, at that point, they didn't send you a check until you made your first $100.
Oh, how much did you make?
We never made $100.
No. So YouTube, send checks.
That you owe me some YouTube interest possibly piling up that could be $100 now.
Possibly.
Maybe it'll be a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've been scrolling through the videos on this camera and my little brother is like, he's like, hey guys, it's Brady. This is a penny I found. stupid, I know. And he's like, all right, bye.
It's adorable.
I know. I'll show it to you guys after this. It's so good.
Oh.
I put it on Facebook immediately. So it's still there.
Oh, Facebook.
There's a penny I found.
All right. Well, you know, segueing in, before we share our final thoughts on the movie, why don't you guys go around and tell some stories from eighth grade?
Okay. Well, I have like a quick thing just based off that. My dad used to have to come to the mall with me, and he would go sit like in the food court or sit on like a bench or something. And he was like our chaperone, but he would just like stay in one place. And then if we like needed him, we could go find him. But I didn't have a cell phone until the eighth grade, I think I got it for Christmas. But yeah, I would like text him like, okay, coming to find you. And of course it's like everything's misspelled, lowercase letter, like lowercase u for
coming to find you. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Very, very mid 2000s, texting lingo.
It's like a Donald Trump tweet, probably.
Not as bad.
I'm proud of
not
you.
Not as inflammatory.
Proud of you, Beth.
I don't, maybe as inflammatory sometimes. The whole world rides on these texts.
Text your dad and you're like, the Dems are spreading fake news, Dad.
Right here at the mall.
You are on record saying that, Mason. Just need you to know that.
The failing New York Times.
Yeah, someone's going to clip this out when I run for office one day.
It's
listen to future politician Mason Moreau talk about Democrats.
Well, it's like in the Scooby-Doo movie where Fred's like, I don't think Coolsville sucks, and then they use in the news clip, Coolsville sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, Beth, so what's your story?
So my story is a bullying story, which this was like the worst, well, not maybe the worst, but it was like the thing that I most remember that I was like, wow, I can't believe somebody would do something like that. If you remember, the Twilight series was very popular when we were in middle school.
Yes.
And I was reading New Moon, which is the second book in the series. And I was reading it at school during carpool, I guess. And I had it out of my desk. And I went, I think, to the bathroom or to get some water or something like that. And I came back and it was gone. I couldn't find it. I knew I had left it on my desk, but that didn't stop me from like rifling through my backpack and like making sure it didn't like fall on the floor or like that somebody had like picked it up. And I like went in my locker. My mom is also a teacher at the middle school I went to. I also had her as a teacher.
Ooh.
Throughout middle school, which surprisingly is not as scarring as you might think it would be.
Huh.
But I like went to my mom's classroom, or I told my homeroom teacher that I couldn't find my book. And so she asked the class and nobody said anything. Later, I went and talked to my mom and I was like, I don't know. Like, did I just like leave it in your room somehow? I don't know. My middle school brain with all these hormones and feelings is like so crazy that maybe I just like wasn't thinking straight or something. But my mom got mad at me because I didn't have my name in the book. And she's like, how are you going to know which one is yours? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one in my class right now, like reading New Moon, but whatever.
Small details.
I know. But anyway, sorry. So I went and bought another New Moon book from Barnes & Noble. Like my dad took me that night, so because I was like hell bent on reading this book. My dad took me to Barnes & Noble. I got a New Moon book, immediately put my name in it, brought it to school the next day. Same time that day, book was gone from my desk.
Got swiped.
Or gone from my backpack or wherever it was. Yeah.
Oh.
And oh man, my mom got mad.
Did you write your name in it that time?
I did. I wrote my name in it right after I got it.
And big Sharpie and everything.
So yeah, and then after my teacher and my mom got involved, the book reappeared. Somebody found it. Shocker.
Oh wow. There
so then
it
you
was.
Had two books.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure those two books are still on my bookshelf at home.
Awesome.
Well, so now I know what to
buy. In a way you won.
What to what?
In a way you won.
A little bit. Yeah. It was just like, that was like probably the most outwardly shitty thing that I think happened, other than all of like the typical passive aggressive girl stuff that goes on in middle school.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to be honest. I think I repressed most of, I guess, like the worst parts. I actively choose not to remember too much of eighth grade or too much of middle school because, boy, was I an ugly kid. Ugh. Gross. Ouch. Two stints of Accutane, sixth and eighth grade, and big old braces thanks to Heiser Orthodontics. But hey, they straighten things out. But
are they an advertiser yet? Or
it's time to talk about the great guys over at Heiser Orthodontics.
Heiser Orthodontics. You know, we talked about kind of like that weird, like, you know, innocence, like lost, like moment. And I just remember like a kind of like a subtle one where, you know, I felt like someone was telling me that Santa Claus didn't exist, but a little bit different. It was end of eighth grade, going into ninth grade at a summer camp. And they just simply did roll call. And then they said names and then the city you're from. So Patrick Baylor, Cumming, Georgia. Spelled exactly how you think. It's not a great name. So then some of the older kids and the counselors themselves all just snickering, laughing. And then I think I didn't hear my name. So then they called my name again. Patrick Baylor. Cumming, Georgia. What's that mean, guys? And then had to have one of the nicer counselors just kind of, you know, pull me aside and tell me exactly what it was. And I was like, oh, that's what that's called? Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
A counselor actually told you?
Well, it was like a counselor that was like 2 years older than me, you know? It was like, you know, another teenager.
So yeah, just another dude.
Yeah, it's not like,
an adult.
A 30-year-old isn't telling me, yeah, what that is. No. But, you know, like, that was just one thing where I remember, like, you know, kind of being like, I felt like the youngest kid in the room. Like, you know, everyone kind of like, everyone knew like this cuss word and the context behind it. And I was like, that's just the city I'm from. What are you doing, guys? Why are you making fun of me?
You know how I learned? Well, I knew a lot of cuss words just because my family isn't like shy about that necessarily. Uh-huh. But I learned like a lot about the context of those cuss words from watching Comedy Central too late at night as a child.
Well, that'll do it for anyone. I'll still like learn the context of some cuss words from watching some stand-up specials. Yeah,
that's honestly a part of your middle school education, I would say.
Oh,
for sure.
Like exposing yourself to TV that you shouldn't be watching is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I had a TV in my room from like third grade on.
Oh.
Although it did have a parental lock on it for a large portion of like my grade school time.
But you learned the code.
I learned the code, and then for some reason it like stopped working, and I'm like, thank you, Dish Network.
Yeah, I remember, like, I think also eighth grade, my parents just, like, made sure I was, like, not watching, like, FX or something at, like, 10 p.m. because it was, like, Nip Tuck or something very sultry.
Ooh. Yeah.
Something TVMA. Some side boob was shown. Ooh, oh, oh.
No Skins for Patrick.
Exactly. Skins.
Skins was a good show.
Did you guys ever watch Degrassi, The Next Generation?
I did not.
Oh, man. I learned a lot from that.
Was it very the one that formative. Drake was in?
It was. He is Wheelchair Jimmy, shot by Crazy Richard.
Spoilers.
Does everyone have a nickname in their show?
I mean, I just have nicknames for them. He is Wheelchair Jimmy, though. Like, definitely.
All right, so my eighth grade
Sorry,
story.
Aubrey.
Yes, what's your big eighth grader?
So this story, like, involves basically me having to make someone feel very, very awful for a situation that I had no way to control. So there was this girl. I'm not going to say her name.
Can you give her a fake name?
Actually, let's call her
Betty Sue.
Ashley.
Ashley. There you go.
Hildago.
Right? we are having like an outside lunch day. Where, like, there was a special lunch, and we were all sitting outside, and I was with my group of friends, and we were sitting in a circle just joking around, being idiots, and there were some kids that I didn't, like, really know, but knew my friends, so, like, we were all just hanging out. This girl, Ashley, she was very quiet. You could tell her family was not very well off. She had a lot of medical problems. She was very shaky. She would wear, like, dress-up shoes to school.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, little girls get those, like, dress-up kits, and they have all these, like, fake articles of clothing in them, right? And she was wearing them to school, and, like, it was a lot of people made fun of her behind her back because she was
different.
She was different. I want to say this to add emphasis to the story, but I don't want to, like, this isn't what I would say now. She was the weird girl, right?
That's what she was framed as from all your peers back in the day.
Yeah. Gotcha. So all my friends get it in their head that it'd be a hilarious idea. This is all hypothetical. It'd be a hilarious idea to just one of them go up and tell her that I liked her. And everyone's like sitting there around just joking and saying like how they would do it and how they would and what that would cause. And then like if me and her actually ended up dating, I'd have to take her on a date and like all this stuff. And then this kid Jim comes back and he's like, yeah, I did it.
Oh no.
And so,
oh man,
I was like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why would you do that? Like, and I was like, I hope that she knew he was kidding. I hope that she knew he was kidding. And
oh no, of course she didn't.
Yeah, she didn't. No, of course, right? And she sat across from me in math class.
Oh no.
Across from you?
Yeah, so we had like those desks, or we had our desks put together in like 4-person groups.
I see. Okay.
So she sat across from me. Like,
gotcha.
Nobody can see me right now, but I have a horrified look on my face.
You're turning red.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so we had a math test that day, and we all took it, and then I'm just like sitting there looking down at my desk, waiting, and mind you, there's two people right here.
Yeah, right.
So they're all like third party witnesses to this
just right next
interaction
to your
little, we're about to have
in your little quadrant.
I get a little sheet of paper, comes into my
classic note.
Right, yeah, classic. Classic class note. You sit there and I open it up. And it says, do you like me?
Oh.
And
oh no.
I wrote no.
Comma, what?
Actually, wait. I don't think that I passed the note back.
No,
I think I
comma,
just, I
this
kept
has all
it.
Been a horrible joke.
I kept
think you're
it.
A nice girl.
And I, you know, I just kind of...
You carry it in your wallet to this day?
I acted like it wasn't I acted like I just wasn't gonna care about it or something. You know, like
sure.
I just didn't know what to do. I just froze up and didn't deal with it. You know, like if I fold this note back up and put it right here, it's not a problem, right?
Yes.
Test is done, everyone's talking before the thing's over, and Ashley's like, did you get my note? And I was like, yeah, I saw your note. And she's like, well, do you like me? And I was like, no. And she was like, oh, but Jim said, and I was like, I know that Jim told you that, but it's not true. And I was like, I had to like nip it in the bud right there. It was the worst thing.
In that harsh way?
I didn't know what to do. Like, you know, I
mean, you have to tell the truth.
I wasn't equipped to deal with something like that in a mature manner.
Because, yeah, you weren't equipped to say, hey, Ashley, that's not true. They've been playing a terrible practical joke on you. I think you're a real keen gal. Let's be friends and get some ice cream.
I wouldn't have done that because at that moment...
Why, you hate ice cream or something?
At that moment, I feel like she would have thought that that was a date.
For sure, yeah. I mean, yeah,
but,
it's eighth grade.
You know, that was just... that.
In eighth grade, that's a proposal.
I was basically forced to completely shatter this girl's, like, hopes. You know what I mean? And it was the worst fucking thing.
I have an adjacent story to that. There was this boy who also was, like, this is just a little awkward, and he didn't necessarily, like, get along with a lot of the other guys in our grade. And this was in eighth grade. And I remember he came up to me and my friends on the playground during recess, and
good old playground.
Good old playground, so many memories. And he came up to me, or came up to my group of friends, and like asked if he could talk to me. And so we went and like sat on a bench, and he was like, hey, would you want to go on a date with me? And it like, or he, I don't remember if he asked me to be his girlfriend or if he like just wanted to go on a date. And I knew it took so much courage to like come up and ask that, especially because like he was really quiet. And I just said, I'm really sorry. I don't like you like that. Bye.
And then you just fade off into the darkness.
Just fade away. Melt into the wall.
make like the Avengers and fade into disappearance. Thanks to Thanos. Well, I don't feel so good either. Oh my God. Eighth grade.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
So that's the thing. Y'all are, I mean, all of us. I wish I had some darker stories that I can remember. I remember that I wasn't very good at dancing, and I was made fun of every time because my arms were way too far back from the girls
What do you mean way too far back?
Oh, the leave room for Jesus move?
Yeah, I left room for Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Mary, all the apostles, everyone, you know?
Amen.
You can fit a whole manger.
Damn straight, yeah.
Barn animals and everything.
And I remember, actually, at that same camp, I grew up at this camp, that all the gals from the other camp, you know, made fun of me because I danced like an idiot. But
oh, poor Pat. Damn.
And also, my first slow dance was to Shout. You know, you make me want to shout.
Like the wedding. Dance?
But that's not a slow song. I know.
Wait a minute.
Context.
I think there was a slow song playing, and then it was about 10 seconds, and that song ended. But I was already there. Oh, let's keep on dancing. Let's keep on slow dancing. And then the fastest song ever, with all the damn speed changes ever, then goes. So I could just talk about...
could talk about middle school dances all day.
Terrible middle school eighth grade dances all day. Because those were my first dances. But
my mom was my chaperone for most of them, too.
Oh, my God. Great. But unfortunately, we're sadly running out of time. But yeah. Hey, I mean, hey, if you guys want to know about eighth grade, about any of us, just grab a beer with us. So, listeners, if you're in our area, but we're not going to tell you our area because it's not safe. I don't know.
We're in Atlanta. That's like broad enough.
It's broad enough. Yeah.
Plus, your names are at the beginning of the show. They could just Google you.
Don't give them ideas, Beth.
Oh, sorry. This whole movie is about the internet, though. Like
Gucci.
Gucci.
Anyway, though. So that's the cool thing about this movie is that I think all of us were very quickly able to just kind of dig back in our minds of stuff that we may have repressed from 10 years ago and just remember the cringiness or maybe sometimes the fun or maybe just sometimes kind of what we learned 10 years ago. That, like, you know, Mason, you I think have learned way better problem solving and social skills after that.
Yeah, definitely.
You know to put your name on stuff.
Right.
And have your mom butt in on any issues.
Right? And you learned how to dance, right?
Yes, I know how to dance.
Deny. I deny that statement.
Well, we're going to have a dance off. The very first Son of a Ginger dance off.
And we will YouTube live it for you.
Perfect. Well, we'll simulcast on YouTube, Twitch, Mixer,
Facebook
Gaming.
But as Elsie Fisher said, no one uses Facebook, Bo. Everyone uses Snapchat.
Obviously. Okay, wait. Can I say one more thing about social media use in this movie?
Yeah, let's go.
Please.
Oh, man. Her just scrolling through Instagram and like stalking the popular girl in her class. That is still like a very real thing. Like you just see, you go down this like terrible rabbit hole of people you see who are like tagged in your friend's picture on Instagram and you just like cannot stop scrolling. So keep your accounts private if you don't want people to stalk you. I'm just saying.
At least if you don't want strangers to stalk you. Cause here's the thing. If all your friends are stalking you at all times of the day.
But yeah, so closing thoughts on the movie, it really does make those memories come rushing back. And in that regard, it reminds you who you are and why you're that.
And how to be kind to people, especially. Yeah. It can be really hard, I think, now us as like sort of adults, you know, interacting with kids on like that kind of infrequent basis that you might like family friends or something. But just remembering to be kind because that part, like that time is so hard.
Yeah, be kind as much as possible because kids their age are not being kind to them, you know?
Yeah, no, middle schoolers suck.
They're awful.
We were all awful, too.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I think we've all gotten a little bit better. I can say I've gotten a little bit better after this podcast.
Oh, I agree.
Yes. Well, so signing off, former eighth grade boy Patrick Baylor.
Heartbreaker Mason Moreau.
Well, what am I supposed to be then?
Also former eighth grade girl.
Well, yeah.
That's all you
eighth
are.
Eighth grade heartthrob.
That's all I am. Oh, no.
The coolest eighth grade girl.
Hair flip. This is like Beth Marcinko, former eighth grade girl. Gucci.